Repeat after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. We began on last night, and we'll, of course, use our same foundational passage for this teaching on the faith that considers not. Would you say that? The faith that considers not. All right, we pick it up at verse 17. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when it was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Amen. All right. So we're talking about, this is our second lesson on the faith that considers not. The Lord told me to begin to teach faith like he taught me faith. And so that is why I've been pulling up the little raggedy picture or the little building that I was in years ago when the Lord gave me a visitation and taught me many of the revelations that you hear today. Now, I do have learned a lot, and been a lot of the things I have learned have been confirmed and have learned from many faith teachers, but there are some things about faith the Lord taught me himself way back then, and the Lord told me to start teaching those things again. So I'm really excited. Now, Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 talks about us living by faith, having a church, the just shall live by. So this is a lifestyle. That's why coming to seminars like this and putting in focused time is important, because you want to understand how to live this way. It's a different way of living. It's not religion. It's a different way of living. It's a different lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of living and experiencing the supernatural. Everybody say the supernatural. Now, the supernatural has to do with extraordinary things happening as a result of you practicing principles, as a result of God's intervention. They may not always be spectacular, but they are supernatural. Now, what I mean by that? Well, the Bible talks about in Job 42:10 how God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. But then you look and see how that captivity happened. God moved on the hearts of people who began to give to Job. Now, that looked like a natural thing. It didn't want all that spectacular, but at the end, it was definitely supernatural, because he ended up with twice as much just based on folk giving to him. See, it wasn't spectacular. It wasn't like God rained down, you know, money from the sky, or, or God multiplied a few. No. It happened, looked like a natural thing, see? But it was supernatural because of the origin and the motivation for the giving into Job's life came from God. Y'all with me on that? Because I don't want to stay too long on that point. But you got to understand, living a supernatural life is different from living a religious life. Well, all you do is come and you go through a religious something and then go back and, you know, fight the best fight you can. No. We walk by and not by sight. And so we began last night talking about the mechanics of faith, and we began to talk about the asking, the believing, the confession, the demonstration, all of that. And then we began to look at, systematic faith, we found out that there are some elements of systematic faith. Everybody say, he's reviewing. Yeah, and we said that when I'm in faith, then he says, we said that I have the expectation of a plan of action, a favor of God, the wisdom of God, a miracle, or strength to endure until change comes. Because this is not magic, this is a lifestyle. Everybody says lifestyle. Now, we also said now that just because I've had some victories in faith does not mean that that I don't need to stay strong in faith. Because I can revert back. So my mind can be renewed, but if I don't watch it, I'll revert back to natural living. And I've seen that with a whole lot of believers, and you can tell it by how they talk, you understand? And, you know, because they're not talking the supernatural expectation. They're not talking statistics, and they're talking standards, and, you know, well that's what they say, but because you've reverted back. Now, what God wants to do is keep you living on the edge. Keep you living with that supernatural expectation. Everybody say supernatural expectation. Because God does not want us to have any faith failures at all. Everybody say no faith failures. Amen, amen. Now, so we began to talk about Abraham and our text, how he considered not. That was some natural things that did not look like it would look like these would be barriers to what God told him. God said he's going to give him a seed, give him a child in his old age. And he was getting older and older from the time God first told him. Now, it's going on 25 years. It's almost, it's in the 24th year now. It's in the 24th year. But all along, see, God's been teaching him faith because the promises of God are received by faith. Amen. So now he's waiting 25 years. The Bible says he reached a point. Everybody say, stay with him, stay with him. He reached a point now where he was strong in faith and he considered not all of the negatives. Now, if you're ever walking in faith and really believing for something, there's always some negatives. Always some negatives. And so you have to know how to overcome those negatives. You have to know how to overcome those negatives because you've got to understand, Abram was not always like this. So this was not some special anointing. He wasn't always like this. He had to grow into this. So if he had to grow into it, watch this, then we all can grow into it. Amen. So we posed the question last night that we want to just deal with briefly as we end our review. When should I really look at this thing? When does ignoring circumstances and the negatives cross the threshold of foolishness and presumption? Because see, that's really important. Because you know, some people hear this and they'll take it the wrong way. They'll go to the negative extreme with it. And you know, my God will supply all my needs. Well, I ain't gonna go to work. I'm just sitting and wait for God to supply my need. See, that's foolishness. Amen. Amen. And I've had people do foolish things with me. Don't tell me God told you. God told me that you're supposed to buy me a car. Well, he should have told me. I mean, one time we gave a lady a car. We gave a lady a car. Bridget started laughing. I heard her. And she told me, no, I want a new one. Yeah, that's the kind of attitude she had. No, I don't want this one. I want a new one. And y'all know y'all able to buy one. Hey, glory. I know I told you, but you better keep that one. I'll take it back. You're walking now, praise the Lord. Amen. Now, so let me give you some things. It's real simple. Number one, where there is no sustaining manifested favor or miracle while you're waiting. All right, let's go to my first picture there because I showed it last night. Can I get my first picture there? Yeah, there. Now, when I'm there, I told you now, I'm a full-time pastor, and God told me that when I was there, he wouldn't let me go back to work in industry. He told me, I'm going to teach you how to trust me. Well, I didn't want to learn. I was kind of mad with him and mad with the church world. I just want to go back to work, take care of my family, and I'd be all right because I was a system analyst, so I could get me a job. That wasn't a problem. But God's now, he's got greater things for me. So right there now. So I'm full time. I don't have 50 members. The reason it wasn't foolishness, because God told me. You got it? Watch this. Not only did God tell me, but he raised up somebody to help me. Give him my next photo. Now that's inside the building. See how pitiful it is. That's a Sunday morning. Can't get 50 folk. I heard Brittany say, oh God, yeah. Next photo. Oh, that's me. Look how slim I was, man, I tell you. We used to have little tent meetings, you know, and that's one of the little tent meetings because I was being mentored. Next photo, y'all see, that's Bridget. Now that gentleman there is C.L. Jackson, and And he used to bring his church over, be in the tent. That's the guy that God raised up to help me. So my family did not go lacking. But it was a hard time for me because I wasn't used to taking stuff from no anybody. You know, I was kind of raised being independent, and I work for my own stuff, you understand? So God had to teach me during that time how to receive from others. And he paid my bills many times, paid my church bills. I love him to this day. There's nothing he can ask me for that if it's in my power, I wouldn't give it to him. Yeah, amen. Next picture. That's us under the tent. Oh, that's the boy under the tent preaching. Amen. Yes, indeed. I was about 135 pounds soaking wet. Amen. All right, next photo. Now that's Dr. Jackson again. Okay, I think that's it, isn't it? And that is for my photos? Yes, yeah. Oh, go to the next photo. Next photo, and then just hold it right there. Yeah. Hold it right there. But let me get this next point out of the way. The next point was when there is no compromise of integrity to keep your present course. I know I'm not in foolishness. I know I'm standing in faith. There's favor and the miraculous happening to sustain me, and I don't have to cross the line and compromise my integrity to hold my course. Amen? Don't have to lie. Don't have to steal. Da-da-da-da-da. All right? Number three is when I know that I can hold, I know that I'm not in presumption. I know that I'm not in foolishness. Watch this. When I have a word from God, and I know it's a word from God. Once God tells me, as I tell everybody, I counsel with man no more. Now, I had that picture up there because last night when I put that picture up there, I saw folk recoil. Yeah, like, talk about a jet. And I thought that was something because, see, the Lord told me not to apologize for my prosperity. No. Yeah. Because, you know, that's... there are people who can only handle you having so much. And see, Lord dealt with me about this years ago because, you know, my assignment is to teach you how to prosper. Yeah. And, you know, God told me never to be apologetic for what he's done for me. And faith produced it. So if faith can produce it for me, you don't have to be resentful. You ought to respect that faith did it for him. Faith can do. You may not even want a jet. You may not even want a jet. And that's not. I only needed a jet because God told me that I needed one for the assignment that he'd given me. Amen. And I think we've owned over the course of the time since 1996, we've owned 7 jets. Amen. Don't be recalling on me. Don't be recalling on me. See, you ought to rejoice. Yeah. Go to Psalms 26. Go to Psalms 26 because you got to understand this. And you can't be ashamed of what God's done. I see a lot of folk, when you tell them about, instead of them saying that this is the blessing of the Lord, oh, this whole thing? Yeah. Are you there? What'd I tell you? Psalm 26, look at verse 7. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Everybody say publish. With the voice of thanksgiving. Yeah, God wants us to publish, to tell it. Amen. Now, as I said, everybody said, the Lord did it. Yeah, the Lord did it. The Lord did it. And there's no way, you know. First of all, I mean, I wouldn't even have the thought to get one. He gave me the thought, gave me the desire, so that I could use my faith to get it done. Now, the whole point of it is, I like this. If I had put a picture up there of a person, me laying hands on a person, and a person being healed, everybody go, praise the Lord. Yeah. You got it? Put a picture up there of the blessing of the Lord, material blessing. Yeah. Then folk look like, you don't have to brag. And that's because folk mind need renewing in that. Because same God that does the healing is the same God that manifests the material blessing as well. Everybody say same God, same God. All right, now, so what we need to learn to do, I want to just move on from that, Psalm 78 also tells us, you just make a note of 78 and 4, it tells we need to tell it to the generation to come. So they'll know what God will do. I don't want this generation to come. I want folk to know. I'm 28 back there when I started believing God. Glory to God. I was 32 when we started the church. Amen. 64 now. Hallelujah. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. I want the kids to know, and I call them kids, they're in their 30s right now. You don't have to wait till you get in your 50 to serve God. You need to start serving him now. Get your faith built up now. Watch this. Because if he can do what he has done in my life, he can do the same thing in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, tonight, everybody say tonight. Now, tonight we want to talk about this process, this consideration process, because he considered not, but he did consider. Everybody say considered not, but you have to consider. Now, let's go and do some history on this thing. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. I want us to have respect for this consideration process so that we'll understand how to consider the things that we're going through and how what things to consider and what things to consider not. Amen. Now, in Genesis chapter 17, Abraham, verse 1, he's 99 years old. Everybody say 99. I'll just read that. I said, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now, you know, he's talking about multiplying. He's not talking about not multiplying him in a material sense because he's already rich. No, he's already rich here. Okay, he was so rich that he took his nephew Lot with him. And they were so rich in cattle that their workers were fighting with each other because the land wasn't big enough for all of their cattle. So Lot decided he'd go one way and Abram said, we go another. They had to split up. He's already rich. So he started multiplying him. He's talking about giving him the promised seed. Amen. Now, in this passage, verse 5, he changes his name. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For father of many nations have I made thee. Watch this now. So he's changing his name. What is he doing? He's teaching him how to confess the word. Got it? He's teaching him how to speak in agreement with the promise. Everybody say you got to speak in agreement with the promise. All right, now drop down to verse 15 and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be your name. Now he's changing Sarah's name. Because now he's teaching her how to confess the word as well. So you got Abram confessing every time he calls his name, I'm father of nations. And Sarah, when she's saying her name, she says, I'm mother of many. They're calling things that be as though they, all right, now watch this, all right? And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come of her. Watch this. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? All right, well, son, he still ain't convinced. No, he's not. The Lord told him now. Now, the Lord been telling him all along, I'm going to bless you. I don't know why y'all looking at Abraham funny. Some of y'all Some of y'all have not been convinced yet, you understand? And so he's telling them all along. And now when he tells Abram, now, Abram, he changes his name. Your name is now Abraham. Call yourself mother of many. Call yourself father of multitude. Sarah, call yourself mother of many. And then he says, because I'm going to do da 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 da. And Abraham said, God, it's something else. Because watch this, he's placing a false criteria on God's ability to perform. What does age have to do with it? When you're talking about God. But in his mind now, he places this criteria that God can't do it because we're old. And I got to tell you, a lot of people grasp and have these false criteria. God can't do it because I'm black. Can't do it because I don't have a college degree. Can't do it. Are you listening to me? So we can't throw a rock at him. What we're going to do is learn from him. Now go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, as we chase this down, we're going to see the process that they went through, and we'll connect this with our text. All right, verse 11 says, through faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. They say, because she judged. Amen, amen. No, because she judged. See, that was some consideration we're going to find out is about thinking and about deliberating. You got it? And she was able to deliberate, consider, not the her state, but her deliberation, her consideration was on the power of God. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Because the same process they used is the same process we must use. All right, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Stacking not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised. Watch this. He was able also to perform. Everybody say, if he promised it. He's able. Oh, thank you. No, yeah, that's got to get down on the inside of you. If he promised it, Jesus, he's able. Come on, tell somebody else like you really meant it. Mean it. If he promised it, he's able. Yeah. Give somebody a high five and say, if he promised it, he's able. I saw all y'all didn't high five. All y'all didn't high five. I saw Brother Joe. Brother Joe high five in the back. Boom. But I'm not coming. If he promised it, then he's able. All right, let's go to my next photo. My next photo, because I want to show you something. Yeah, if he promised it, yes, he's able. Amen. Wow, look at that. Amen. Those facilities, except, of course, the Lakewood facility there, was either built from the ground up or remodeled, watch this, by a man who had never built a doghouse. They told me, Larry, here. Larry, where are you? Way back. There he is in the back. Yeah. Because God told me he's the man that's going to build all the buildings I told you. Watch this. And he was an ex-drug addict. It wasn't like he was a drug addict, but he had been in the building industry. And I think he used to sell chemicals, didn't you, Larry? Yeah, he was a chemical salesman. He has no background at all in construction. At all. But the Lord said, that's the man. Watch this. And if he promised it, Now, that's the kind of tenacity that you have to have when you read the word. If he says, I'll meet your need, my God shall supply. Why? Or if he promised it, then what? He's able. Everybody say, he's able?
He's able.
All by himself.
All by himself.
Yes, indeed, 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 indeed. All right, now, so when we've looked at this and we've seen now that what has to happen now is there has to be some consideration. It's just what you choose to consider and what you choose to consider not. Got it? Now, we're using the illustration of all the buildings and that sort of thing because I considered not that all the builders and all of the general contractors, I considered not just because they had experience and Larry had no experience, I considered not to let that determine my course of action. Y'all understand me? Y'all with me? Y'all with me? Yeah. You got to, everybody say you got to consider not. Consider not. All right. But I did consider God being able. Because when the architect didn't want to work, the first architect didn't want to work with him. He said, no. I told him, I'll pay you extra to teach him. He said, no, I'm not going to work with him, period. And he says, him or me? Well, I already uncovered that. God didn't tell me nothing about you. But he did tell me something about Larry. So the decision was easy to make. Everybody say, stay with him, stay with him. See, that's what you've got to understand when you are challenged in your thinking about the promise of God. Be it healing, be it your prosperity, be it your peace, be it your promotion. Watch this. You got to understand. Don't you let your mind, don't you let anybody talk you out of what God said. Amen. All right, now I'll go with your Bibles and let's look at Proverbs chapter 23. Kingdom consideration is thinking and deliberating based on a righteous standard of God's word that sets the course of the will. We are limited or liberated by our thinking. We are limited or liberated by our thinking. Would you say that? We are limited or liberated by our thinking. Amen. So the Bible does not tell us that once we get saved to turn our brains off. Unfortunately, many believers do. But the Lord didn't tell you to quit thinking. You just need to know how to think now. Amen. Verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is that me. Part A of that verse says, my thinking will ultimately define me. How I think it will ultimately define me. So we are, watch this, we're instructed by God to renew our minds. Everybody say renew minds. All right. And that's an ongoing process. Because if I don't understand it's an ongoing process, I have my mind renewed and then I'll revert back. Because faith does not come by having heard. Faith comes by
hearing.
Amen. And I know that sounds so simple, but it's so it's so awesome. It's so dynamic. Now, I need to read some of these just so, you know, because we got the new believers here. Go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. We bring our old thought patterns into the kingdom of God. My thinking doesn't change just because I got saved. Amen. It doesn't change just because I got saved. I got saved all right, but I brought my old, however I thought before I got saved, that's the way I'm thinking right now. Amen. That's why the mind has to be renewed. Amen. All right. So there, verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So I got to understand, I don't automatically think like God when I first get born again. That's why Romans chapter 12 is important. Romans chapter 12, it tells me I have to renew my mind. Everybody say, renew mind, renew your mind. All right, says verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect what? Will of God. If my mind is renewed, then I will follow the will of God. Everybody say, if your mind is renewed, you will follow the will of God. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Everybody say, stay with him, stay with him, stay with him. Because I want you to understand this process so you can maximize the process that you understand, Jesus. All right, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, watch this, and bringing into captivity every thought. So I got some renegade thoughts that I got to bring into captivity. Amen? I got to capture. Kenneth Hagin, you said like this, can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. So I got some thoughts that will come to me that I've got to know how to deal with these thoughts. Because I can have some renegade thoughts, and watch this, whatever I think on consistently will ultimately define me. Jesus. So my thinking is important. Everybody say, my thinking is important. So from Philippians chapter 4, I'm just reading the word to you. Philippians chapter 4, obviously I got some control over my thinking because he tells me, verse 8, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So he's telling me, if I'm going to maximize my life as a believer, I got to control, watch this, what consumes my thought life. I'm going to shout all by myself. I got to control what consumes my thought life because I'm going to ultimately be defined by what consumes my thought life. Now, if that be true, and it is, amen, if I consume my thought life with the things of God, watch this, that I will never doubt God. Amen, amen. I know one of my pastors had a bad report, and then they started going online and just looking at all the what the medical field said about the bad report, and day and night. I told him, look, you don't need to do that. You need to consume yourself with what the Word says, because you're gonna be defined by what you consume. All right, watch this. You are not engineered by God to think about two things at the same time. All right, let's have a little illustration. You know what your house looked like, right? I hope you know what your house, you ain't gonna be able to find it tonight. You know what your house looked like from the outside, right? Get that picture in your mind, you got it? Now, let's think about the Statue of Liberty. Okay, where'd the picture of the house go? It went away. Because you're not engineered to focus on two things at the same time. So if I'm focusing on my problem, I'm not focusing on God who can solve it. And I'm going to ultimately be defined, watch this, be driven by what consumes my thought life. We're talking about living by faith. We're not talking about just being a church member. We're talking about learning how to live by faith. We're talking about how to live supernaturally. Amen. We're talking about how to rise from a little raggedy building where everybody's passing you, laughing at you, to a place where you're on top in the kingdom of God. Jesus. Amen. There you go bragging again. Well, see, my boast is in the Lord. Now, if you can't handle that, that's your problem. I got to publish abroad what the Lord has done. Amen, amen, because there's some preacher who's in that same state. And when he understands, look what the Lord did for him, and he's got a dream in his heart and know what God has told him, he's not about to give up. He's about to be encouraged. And you don't even have to be a preacher. You just got to be able to see your state and say, if God can do it from here for him, car repossessed, house in foreclosure, but the Lord brought me out, I better stop. I better start shouting. Let's continue this so I can go on and be intelligent. Be through. All right, now, so then, if cynical thinking consumes my life, negative, cynical, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that, huh? Well, just because you don't believe it don't mean it don't work. See, I never spend my time, waste my time trying to convince somebody to believe. Now, I can show you how to believe. I can tell you what I believe. But if you don't want to believe, fine. But it don't stop what I believe working for me. Now, well, I swear I say that because there'll be people that, you know, you start living by faith, you start talking about it, then they go, cha. You mean you believe what they told you? Well, see, I'm not just telling you. I'm showing you this stuff in the book. So your faith doesn't rest in my testimony. Your faith rests in the Word of God. Watch this. And I'm just confirming it that, hey, it does work. This is what I've done. Amen. Amen. Now, go to 2 Corinthians. We've been there. Let's look now at the things that can influence my thinking. A thought is the formation of a reflection, a consideration, or a suggestion that feeds the thinking process. A thought. Everybody say a thought. A thought. A thought. Now, so where do thoughts come from? Because thoughts feed the thinking process. Everybody say, you got to think tonight. You got to think tonight. Come on. You got to think tonight. So my thoughts feed the thinking process. So I need to know what's influencing my thoughts or where my thoughts are coming from. So I'll understand what influence is trying to be placed on my thinking. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Now, the fiery dart here is about a thought, that the devil can shoot thoughts. So, number one, there are satanic-initiated thoughts. You might want to write these down, yeah. We can prove that in the Bible. You know, when Ananias and Sapphira messed up, then the man of God said, why do you let the devil cause you to think like that? All right, number two, watch this. Society, my environment can, watch this, cause me to think a certain way. Colossians 2 and 8 talks about, don't let vain philosophies and all in the rudiments of this world, don't let it influence you, all right? Because my environment can cause me to think certain ways. There are thoughts, everybody say thoughts. Yeah, thoughts initiated by my environment. Then watch this. Then there are some self-initiated thoughts. Yeah, some of that crazy stuff you came up with yourself. It wasn't the devil. The Bible says when a man sins, he's drawn away by his own lust. So what we have now? Satan-initiated thoughts. Society-initiated thoughts. What? Self-initiated thoughts. Watch this. But then there's some spirit-initiated thoughts. Everybody say spirit, spirit. Yes, indeed. Of course, we could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and there it talks about how, you know, the Spirit, it bears witness with my spirit and all that sort of thing, because the Spirit of God speaking to me, just like the Satan has the ability from the spirit world to initiate thoughts, the Holy Spirit initiate thoughts. Amen. Now, that's the highest order. That's where you really want to get to, and that's a whole nother lesson that I'm working on how can you get to the place where you trust that your thoughts are the thoughts of God? Okay. Can I get you just a little bit?
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Now, if I run out of time, it's your fault. Let's go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. How can I get to the place where I can trust in my thoughts? Hey, Jesus. Is in line with his word. What's it? Verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. But now in the Amplified, it says this way. Roll your works on the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. Ooh. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed. There is a place in him. Thank you, Jesus. Where my thoughts will be lined up with his will, Jesus. Where I'll be able to trust my thoughts that when I'm thinking a certain way, I'm hearing from God because my thoughts are agreeable with his will. Amen. Let me get back on track. All right, number one, well, we have satanic-initiated thoughts. Number two, society-initiated thoughts. Number three, self-initiated thoughts. Number four, spirit-initiated thoughts. Number five, scriptural-initiated thoughts. When I'm reading the Word of God, watch this. Now, I could tie that right back in with the Spirit, but I want you to understand, see, the Spirit can speak also, watch this, independent of you reading the Scripture, but it's going to always agree with the Scripture. Everybody say, he can speak independent of the scripture, but it will always agree with the scripture. That's why when folks start saying something flaky and they start with the Lord said, it ain't nowhere in the Bible. In fact, the Bible is contrary to that. That's flaky. But I'm anointed to get all the flaky out of you. That's my anointing. Amen, amen. Because I'm going to call it like it is. All right, now. So now here we are. So we have a perspective on thoughts and thinking. Everybody say, he's going somewhere. He's going somewhere. Okay, all right. Now watch this. Now, go with me the Bibles to Psalms 1. Psalms 1, quickly. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the Lord, in his law doth he day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall. All right, now watch this. It talks there about a repetition or a saturation. Everybody say saturation. Now, go with me in your Bibles to John chapter 17. It talks there about a saturation will bring a transformation. Saturation, that saturation is consuming myself. Whatever I consume with ultimately will be my driving thoughts. Yes, amen. So if it's the Word of God, guess what? Then I'm going to be driven by the Word. You can't miss that point. You can't miss that point. You can't miss that point. Because if you miss that point, you're not going to value the rest of the lesson. All right, now John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Watch this. Thy word is truth. What is truth for the believer? What is truth for the believer? Word of God. Word of God, not CNN. What is truth for the believer is the Word of God. Now, not what some popular, entertainer says. What is truth for me is the Word of God. Amen. You have to settle that. Everybody say, you might as well settle that. Might as well settle. All right, now watch this. So then, choosing is a process or deliberating, reaching a decision, of establishing the will on a select course. Everybody say, stay with him. All right? Deliberating is basically taking a thought. Watch this. Measuring it against the standard in my will and allowing my will to judge the matter. Now, whatever has been influencing my will based on what I have saturated my will with is going to determine my deliberation. It's going to determine my conclusion. Everybody say, stay with him. Now, remember now what we found out in Hebrews 11 and 11, that Sarah was able to believe and gain strength to do what she did because she judged a matter. Everybody say, she judged it. Yeah, she judged him, Abel. Okay, watch this. So now what standard have you adopted? You have adopted a standard. In other words, there's something you've consumed yourself with to the point where this is causing your will to bend a certain way. It could be the statistics of common experiences. In other words, you're a statistic person. Well, what they say. That's what they say, that's what I believe. Number two, it could be the stereotypes of society. Well, whatever they say about a specific group, that's what I believe. I says, they won't give a brother a break. I ain't expecting no break. Stereotypes. Everybody say stereotype. All right, watch this. It could be the seduction of satanic counsel. Now, what that means, you spend your time reading all kind of palms, readers, and astrology charts, and 1-900 witch. Hey, glory. And now, watch this now. That's controlling your thoughts. Because you put more confidence in what they've said. Watch this. And your will, watch this, has surrendered itself. Now, you can tell what your will has surrendered to by what you say. Because we believe, therefore speak. What I believe, I talk about. No, what I really believe, that's what's going to come out of my mouth. Yeah. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. Yeah. So the barometer of what's going on in my thinking is my tongue. Amen, amen. All right, so now the standard's going to be either what I just say, statistics, stereotypes, or the seduction of satanic counsel, or the spiritual truth of God's word. If I spend my time saturating my life with the word of God, my will be inclined always, watch this, to go with God. Okay, 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 okay. Let's see if we can't make this. I need my illustration quickly. Quickly, I need my illustration because I want to show you. Everybody say, we're about to watch the deliberation process. Oh, yeah, and learn from it. Okay, 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 okay. All right, sis. All right, I need you to be, I ain't gonna be going nowhere now. I need you to be the wheel so you go on the top. You're the wheel. You're the boy in control. Wheel in control. Most powerful thing in the earth is the will of man. God refuses to cross the will of man. It's what makes man different from a robot is because God respects his will. God allows us to choose our will above his will if we want to. Amen, amen. Now, at the deliberating table or the consideration table, is the mind. Who want to be the mind? Who don't be the mind? I need somebody on this right here to be the mind. Want to be the mind? You be the mind. Amen, yeah. The mind comes there, all right? Then also at the deliberating table comes the emotions, how I feel about it. See, the mind is consumed with logic. But the emotions don't care anything about logic. The emotions care about how I feel about it. Yeah. Yeah. But then also is the flesh. The flesh is there at the deliberating table when a thought comes. Everybody say, when the thought comes. All right, so when the thought comes, I got the mind. I think logically, reasoning. Or got the emotions, how I feel about it. Then I got the flesh. Now the flesh, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The flesh is the avenue by which the devil can get at the table. All right, then I got the spirit. All right, Pastor Coates. Yeah, amen. Move on. Yes. Okay. So now, because, let me have, I need somebody who got a Bible. Can't use my Bible. Oh, y'all got these electronic Bibles. Bible said, this book of the law. This book of the law. All right? So I'm taking, I want none of her stuff to drop out. She got a bunch of stuff. Now hold on to that because we feeding you the word, see. We ain't giving no newspaper. I need another Bible to give to him. Yeah. Just showing he's saturated. He's saturated. Thank you, darling. Yes, yeah, saturated with the word. Amen. All right, glory to God. I don't know how you're gonna hold them all, but you showing that you're full of the word. You're full of the word. That's the will, full of the word. Okay, now, when a thought comes, the mind has reasoning. And the mind deliberates the thought and presents its case on the basis of reasoning. Turn around. Yeah, that's good. The emotions there when the thought comes. And what the emotion does, it presents its case processing the thought based on how I feel. The flesh is also there to trip you up. So he presents his case with a bent toward satanic influence because I can't trust my flesh. Yeah. I'm saved, but I can't. So he presents his case based on that to the will. All right? And then the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God, my spirit's got the Holy Ghost in it, see? Now, the Spirit of God, he's also presenting his case on the thought as well. All right. Now, because the will has been saturated with the word, now the will's got to judge this. Got it? So the will is going to judge it because it's consumed with the word. Watch this. Because what we do as a believer, it's not my will, but thy will be done. You understand? And so that's what Jesus said in the garden. He said, Lord, you know, not my, thy will, thy will, thy will. So he wants to do because he's saturated. Now, if he wasn't saturated and he had full of the newspaper and full of other stuff, this wouldn't work. But for the believer, this is how this works. So now he's got to judge how every one of these has presented their case. Remember, that's what she did. She judged. Everybody say she judged. So when the mind presents its case, he's not, watch this now. See, you got to understand. It's not that he's in denial, but he's deliberating. Everybody say deliberating. Yeah, see, this is how you function. You're going to think a certain way. Yeah, you're going to think logically because you've been trained logically. You're going to think emotionally because you got emotions. Flesh is there. Flesh going to always come. And the spirit is there. The spirit man is there. He's full of the word. So what the will does, because he's consumed with the word, he as far as his case and his presentation, overruled emotions, overruled flesh, overruled. What the Spirit says, sustained. Oh, y'all got that? So say, I understand now. Because I feel a certain way don't mean I'm a bad person. Because I got some crazy, freaky thoughts don't mean I'm a bad person. Because I got some logic in me doesn't mean I'm a bad person. They all going to present their case. But because I've spent time in the Word. The word's going to be the umpire. The word's going to rule this thing. And I don't care what it is. If it's about finances, overrule. Ah, glory. Overrule. Overrule. Sustain. Amen, amen. If it's about my healing and my mind says, look up, everybody I know about that has died of that. Overrule. Because that's not agreeing with the word. The emotions, oh, you better cry. You better get your eyes. Overrule. The flesh, because you did this in 1904, this is thing of coming back on you. Overrule. And the spirit says, by his stripes, you are healed. And the will says, sustain. Everybody say sustain, sustain. He said, that's what I'm looking for. But I had to spend time now, see? That's why your being here tonight is important. That's why you watching it by way of the internet is important. Because you're spending time saturating your will with the word of God. Watch this. Proving that the standard for your life is not your emotions. It is not satanic counsel. The standard for you, I'm got to. The standard for your life is what does God say? My papers. Hey. Everybody's mine. Everybody say sustain, sustain. Sustain, sustain. Yeah, I'm spending time here because when I got to deliberate, I know what to consider not. I'm not considering logic. I'm not considering my flesh. I'm not considering my emotions. I consider not. And it's easy for me to do it because I spent time in the Word, Jesus. Oh, God. Amen, amen. Watch this, watch this. The proof of this happening, the Bible says, we believe, therefore we speak. Now, my will is inclined. Now, watch what the Bible says. Take no thought saying. So whatever thought that I say, that's the thought I took. That's right. Amen. So what's going to come out of my mouth after the deliberation is just what came out of Abram's mouth. He's able. Amen. Giving glory to God. Sarah judged him able. Everybody say able. Amen, amen. Now, I got to wrap up because we're going to finish up tomorrow night. Boy, I tell y'all, I got so much right now to say, Jesus. But I'm going to stick around. I'm going to go and wrap it up, you understand? I don't want to wrap it up. I'm going to talk to y'all about having a false criteria. Because once you establish a false criteria, you have now short-circuited your faith. Your faith can't work when you got some other criteria than the Word of God. And initially, Abram, his criteria, watch this now, his criteria was his age. But the promise ain't have nothing to do with his age. Are you listening to me? What he had to do, watch this, and what the Bible says, Sarai did, that she judged him faithful. Everybody say, judged him faithful. Yeah, now that's the key. That's the key. You have to, everybody say, you have to judge him faithful. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Now that's the key. That's the key. Everybody say, faithful, faithful. Come on, say, faithful, faithful. Faithful, faithful. Yeah, yeah. He's faithful. Means he can be relied on. Everybody say, he can be relied on. Amen, amen. The whole reason I show you all these photos and that sort of thing, I want to let you know how I've been relying on him.
Come on now.
You see, I believe what Sarah and Abram did after he laughed. You know, he laughed and she laughed. But I think they got together and kind of sat down and started thinking.
Come on now, Bishop.
And begin to say, now, you know, this thing may be possible. Because remember when he told us to leave our kindred and leave our father's house and to go to a place where he would show us we left. And he was faithful. He made us richer than we ever could imagine. Because remember, you and Lot, your herdsmen couldn't get along because we had so much stuff. He's been faithful. Amen, amen. And then they sitting there talking, you know, he 99, you know, and she 90, and they're just kind of sitting there reminiscing. You remember when they had Lot and I had to go get him?
Yeah, come on now.
It was three kings, but I had enough men to go up against three nations.
Yeah.
And I brought him back, and I spoiled him. I got all that stuff. And that's when I gave my tithe to Melchizedek.
Yeah.
He's been faithful. Amen, amen, amen. And after all of that, they judged him if he'd been faithful back then. Jesus. Yeah, I really believe since he promised it, he can be faithful right now. Amen, amen. I'm about to preach myself happy as I think about what God has told me about my future. And if he'd been faithful for 32 years, Jesus, I just got to believe he's going to be faithful in the coming days. Amen. And that's what you got to do. You got to understand, look where the Lord has brought you from. You need to go get your own scrapbook. You need to go look at where you used to be and look at where God's got you now and understand he's been faithful. Amen, amen, amen. Yes, indeed, he's been faithful. Amen. You don't understand. I ain't got y'all remember that song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness? You know the guy who wrote that song, how he wrote it? He was in trouble. I mean, he was a pastor. He'd been kicked out of his church because he was ill. They thought he was too sick to be a pastor, so they kicked him out. And so now, because he has a respiratory situation, he has asthma real bad, he's still got to take care of his family. So he's now out climbing the hills, selling brushes door to door to take care of his family. But he's so in love with God, he does not let his present situation spoil, amen, his confidence in God. So one day, while he's in prayer,
yes, sir,
he pulls out his pen,
yes,
and he begins to write, great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Lord, folk are changed, but thou changest not. Thy compassions fail not. Oh. As thou have been, forever will be.
Yeah.
Great,
great
is thy faithfulness.
Yeah.
Great.
Great
is thy faithfulness.
Great.
Morning by morning, new mercies. Somebody ought to shout on mercy. I see. All I needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness. I just want to know, is anybody here faithful? Is anybody here grateful for the Lord's faithfulness? I got good news tonight. If he's been faithful back then, he'll be faithful in the days to come. And because of his faithfulness, God is just ready for you to take a step of faith. He will not move until you take a step of faith. But because he's been faithful, I'm ready to take my step of faith. I'm out of time.